Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 5:18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Holy Spirit of God, we count on you as the one who superintended the breathing out of these words, that we would have an inerrant text in our Bibles. And you are the illuminator. You are our teacher this morning. And Lord, we look to you, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us, that we would know your control in not only the benefits of our worship, but this morning in the benefits of our families as well. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are still in the context of Spirit-filled relationships in the book of Ephesians. The filling of the Spirit applies to our relationships with one another in the church. Chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. It applies to wives and husbands. Chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. We see this morning it applies to children and parents. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. We will see next time it applies to the workplace as well. All of these relationships. The filling of the Holy Spirit is essential for your family. That's what we're observing this morning. The control, the influence of the Holy Spirit over your life, influencing the relationships in your home. This working of the Holy Spirit flows from your salvation. It flows from your identity in Christ, your inheritance in Christ, and all that you have in Christ. Therefore, someone who is not saved cannot be a Spirit-filled parent. Nor can someone who is not saved be a Spirit-filled, obedient child. This is the flow of salvation. It's the flow of all of your riches and all that you are in Christ. And that's the whole book of Ephesians that I encourage you to make sure you're rereading and following along. Now, the Spirit-filled family, it is essential, and we don't need to take all of the time we could take talking about the attacks on the family, not only that are current, but have been going on and building for decades now in this country. These attacks are not new. They are building and growing. We now have a lack of interest in marriage at all. People simply cohabit without even intending to be married. Marriage has become something that is almost cast aside. And yet many who do not cast it aside end up in divorce or abandonment or other kinds of things. These are all attacks on the family. Homosexuality is an attack on the family. It is. You know, someone could say, well, it's just my freedom of choice to decide the way I'm going to do it. Well, okay, but if that's your choice, you are attacking the family. Abortion is an attack on the family. Some of you, I think, have seen this. You know, you're concerned. It's reported every day, the number of people that have died from the coronavirus. Do you know that in 2020, more than 5 times more people were killed by abortion than by the coronavirus? Why aren't those statistics reported on the evening news every night? It's an attack on the family. And yes, your government is very much behind the attack. The government honors and rewards those who attack your family. Now, we're going to see, it's not our topic for today, but these relationships that all need the filling of the Holy Spirit, whether it's the church, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your family, whether it's your workplace, these are, we will see by the end of Ephesians chapter 6, these are the arenas of spiritual warfare. Satan attacks the church. Satan attacks your marriage. Satan attacks your family. Satan attacks your workplace, your labor relationships. Satan attacks your government. And the answer that Paul gives for us in these things in Ephesians 6 is, be aware of his schemes and put on the full armor of God. Now, that's where we're going in Ephesians chapter 6. This requires the filling of the Holy Spirit, that you might have a family that can be what the Lord desires it to be. Notice the armor of God, the Holy Spirit, the power of God is the solution. Let's say it, because it's relevant right now. Let's say it. Government is never the solution. Never has been, and certainly is not right now. Government is part of the problem, not the solution. These are the arenas where Satan attacks. So, in light of that, let's look at the commands given to us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. They're commands to children and commands to parents. Commands to children. The first one in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents. Now, when it says children, say, well, okay, I don't have to think about this anymore because I'm not a child anymore. But the word tekna for children here is irrespective of age. This isn't little children. This is just children. We could say maybe offspring. Offspring, obey your parents. The mandate of this statement is obey. Obey. Hupakuo, which means to listen or hear under. That is to say, hear submissively. Listen submissively. Children, listen submissively to your parents. Hear what they have to say, and when you hear it under their authority. That is what the word obey means. Now, you do notice, this is very simple, the word parents, that's plural. Children, obey your parents. both of them. Mother and father, obey your parents. It is the intent all the way throughout Scripture for father and mother both to be present in the home raising the children. Okay, just think about that in relationship to what has happened to marriage in your culture. Parents, they're both to be there. And it is the expectation of Scripture that children would profit from this. We've seen this in Proverbs, various places, and we could go to a lot of other places throughout Scripture to see it as well. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. Grace comes to children through heeding the instruction of parents. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. It's good, it's right for children to hear and listen to the teaching, the instruction of parents. There is grace in that. There is protection in that, even when you sleep, Proverbs says. Now, the manner of obeying your parents, chapter 6, verse 1, is in the Lord. Now that phrase, in the Lord, describes the children obeying. The phrase in the Lord does not describe the parents. Okay, now why do I even point that out? Because I've heard people say, well, my parents aren't in the Lord, therefore I don't have to obey them. Because my parents aren't in the Lord. That's not at all what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking to the children, and it's saying, children, the way you obey your parents is in the Lord. You obey your parents by the Lord's power. You obey your parents for the Lord's honor and for the Lord's glory. That's why, children, it's good to have the filling of the Holy Spirit in that, isn't it? Obey your parents, how? In the Lord. This is like what we saw with wives back in chapter 5, verse 22, when it says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. The wife submits to the Lord. The children submit to the Lord. They obey in the Lord in order to obey their parents. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Why should children obey parents? This is all about God. It's not about you as a child, and it's not about your parents. It's about the Lord. That's how you obey your parents. And the motivation for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Dikaios. It's right, and it leads to rightness with God. It's the same as the word justification. Children who have cultivated a life of consistent and chronic disregarding and disobedience to parents are not likely to ever be saved. Obedience to parents leads to justification, if for no other reason than these children learn what is right and what is wrong. They learn that there is something called sin. This is right. Psalm 19, verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Children, it is never wrong to obey the Word of God. That's right. The precepts of the Lord are right to hear and to follow the teaching of the Word of God. That is right. And it's not wrong to be right. Hosea chapter 14, verse 9. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but the transgressors will stumble in them. It is the development of understanding, of wisdom, of discernment, to learn to obey parents, because that's right. That's wise. That is pleasing to the Lord. So, children, obey your parents. You know, there aren't a lot of commands initially that young children have to think about. But here's one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And if children don't get anything but that, they're off to a good beginning. Vitally important. Now, the next command statement to children in chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, honor your father and mother. Both. Honor your father and mother. The mandate to honor, the word timao, honor, means to attribute high status and respect to both father and mother. To both. Now, to honor your father and mother is the fifth commandment out of the Ten Commands of God through Moses. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And the New Testament repeats this many times. For example, Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. For God said, honor your father and mother. He who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. Under the Mosaic law, dishonoring your parents was a capital offense. Dishonor your parents, you should die under the law. Now, this is honor, the attributing of status and respect to parents. Say, well, is it really that important? You know, isn't this, you say, that, well, this was just invented by greeting card companies to put on things for Mother's Day and Father's Day, and stuff like that. No, honoring father and mother is vital throughout life. And here's a reason why. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 instructs believers who are believers to honor. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor all people. Now, this is learned at home. It's learned in your family. If you can't honor your father and mother, you haven't learned to honor you can't honor anybody else if you don't honor your parents. Now, we won't go far down this track, but the opposite of to honor is to shame. To shame. Have you observed your entire culture, the communication in your entire culture right now revolves around shaming other people? Very little of it revolves around honoring other people, does it? It's about shaming other people. Say, well, how did it get to be that way? Say, well, it's the media's fault. Well, they might have their fault in it. But do you know where this was learned or where honor wasn't learned? The answer is at home. At home. For you to get angry with the news media and get angry with the government and get angry with Washington, D.C. won't help turn this around. This begins at home. Honor your father and mother that you might honor all people. That you might become a person of honor. That you might become a person who acknowledges and attributes honor and builds up rather than attacks and tears down, attacks and tears down. And isn't that what you hear around you almost all the time now? Attack and tear down. Something hasn't happened in a good way in children's upbringing. They have not learned to obey their parents. They've not learned to hear and listen submissively. They have not learned to honor. Say, well, that's the school's fault. No, it isn't. It's at home. It's at home. Children ought to be able to hear the word of God and listen to it submissively, and they should be able to do that for extended periods of time. Why can't they? Because parents are not instructing them to do that. Now, the motivation for honoring parents, the rest of verse 2 and into verse 3, is that there is a promise, and the promise is the promise of well-being and a long life. Verse 3, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, here is another satanic attack in our day. There are people who read this and say, you know what? That doesn't motivate me at all because I don't want to have a long life. You realize if you're saying that, that is coming from the devil. It's the devil who will steal and kill and destroy. A long life is a blessing from the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, that we saw, promises that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. This is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged, that you might see your son obeying the Lord, that you might see your grandson obeying the Lord. Say, well, oh, what a terrible world it is right now. Oh, I feel so badly for these new babies coming into the world. You know what? It is not your culture's job to raise your children. It's yours. It's not a school's job. It's not public education's job. It's not the government's job. It's the parents' job. And when that is done, long life is a good thing. It's an honorable thing. You do understand there is so much worry and negativity dominating people all around you all the time right now. I've heard more people in the last 6 months say, I just wish I could die. Say, is that your profession of faith? Gee, a lot of life and hope in that, isn't there? Is that your profession of faith? When God gives a promise, and God's promise is good. Now, there are commands. Those are the commands to children. There are commands to fathers in verse 4. The command is, first of all, to fathers, stated negatively. Do not provoke your children to anger. Provoke to anger or make angry is all one word in Greek. Do not make angry your children. Colossians chapter 3 verse 21 puts it, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Fathers, there is a way to raise and lead your family. And that way is not anger. Anger, pushing, does not motivate. Say, well, maybe if I could just say it a little stronger. Yeah, but it doesn't motivate, it exasperates. Do not provoke your children to anger. Stated positively, the command to fathers is bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up to raise or to rear. Interestingly enough, this is the same Greek word as is translated nourish back in chapter 5 verse 29 when it says that the husband is nourishing and cherishing his wife. To nourish, to feed, to raise. It's loving. Bring them up. Bring them up in the discipline. Now, discipline is not a harsh word. The word for discipline here, paideia, actually means training. Bring them up in the training of the Lord. Fathers, your children want to be trained. Someone or something will train them. The Bible says it should be you. It should be you. In the discipline, the training, and the instruction. Nouthesia, it's a word translated admonition, and it's the closest thing we have to a New Testament word for counsel or counseling. Who is supposed to counsel children? Fathers. Say, well, what about professional counseling? Well, professional counselors aren't even mentioned in here. They're not in here. They're not even in the Bible. Fathers, instruct, counsel, admonish your children. The discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is the Lord's training. It is the Lord's counsel. Christ is the source, and Christ is the instructor. Christ is training and counseling the children, but how is Christ doing it? He is doing it, fathers, through you. Through you. This is how you bring up, raise children. Psalm 78, verse 4. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the children to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. That's what children need to hear from parents, from grandparents, the praises of the Lord, the wondrous things the Lord has done. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, that is, according to the bent of the child's gifts. And even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Timothy experienced this. Apparently, Timothy's father had died, and Timothy raised by his mother and his grandmother. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul says to Timothy, from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy had heard that from childhood. There is hope for those who have lost spouses. Say, well, I'm bringing up this child by myself. Well, Timothy's mother and grandmother were involved in that too. And they did it. And they taught Timothy the scriptures. May the word of God, may the things of God be the center of home and conversation for both children and for parents. Now, if someone would say today, you know what? I have not obeyed and I have not honored my parents. Do you know what? There is forgiveness for you through salvation in Christ. Maybe parents would say, I have not trained and admonished my children according to the ways of the Lord as I should have. There is forgiveness in salvation. Say, well, we have not had a spirit-controlled family. There is forgiveness in salvation. Receive the salvation that Jesus died and rose again to bring you. And you will know forgiveness, and you can have a fresh start. Say, well, I'm already saved, but I still haven't done as I should in this. Begin where you are now. Can't begin anywhere else. Begin where you are now. Start fresh now. The Lord gives you a new beginning now. You can't undo the past, but the Lord can send it away. He can forgive it, and you can begin anew with a Spirit-filled family as a Spirit-filled person. Heavenly Father, I pray now, if there's anyone hearing this today that does not yet have the salvation and forgiveness that is in Jesus Christ, that they would receive Him to be their Savior even now, and that they would get a new start, a new beginning in their life, in their home, in their marriage, in their family. Lord, I pray for believers. I pray that they would know the filling of the Spirit and that they would see the results of this in their home. Lord, as we yield all of this to You, we pray that it will be for Your honor, for Your glory, that You will be well pleased. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.